Well, good morning. My name is Steve Tomlinson, one of the teaching pastors of Shelter Rock Church. What? Haven't you had a security blanket? I mean, I have it on very good authority from Linus, one of the most famous people in the world, that a security blanket can really help you in times when you're frightened or scared. And I asked my wife just last night, did you have a security blanket? She did. In fact, a lot of us grown-ups today have had security blankets down through the year, and many of us still do in different ways that we find our security. Why is that? Because there's a lot of things in this life that are scary. So as I was thinking about the topic we're going to talk about today, I actually reflected back at times I was really, really scared. So when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my parents took me to a Sunday evening service at my church. We had those back then. And they showed a movie. And the movie was probably meant to scare people into the kingdom of God. And it did indeed scare me. It was about how there was going to be an atomic war, and that in the movie, an air raid siren went off, and everybody went into their basements waiting for the inevitable end. And that night, I remember, see, back then, this is before pagers, before there were automatic phone calls, the fire department depended on a siren to call all the firemen over. And sometimes it would go off in the middle of the night. And on a particular night, it went off at like 1 a.m. And I hear this, and I had just seen this movie. And you know what the air raid signal was? Was a siren. I was scared to death that this was the end. And I cried for my mommy and daddy to come. And they came. And they were good parents. And they prayed with me and brought me comfort. But for months, dare I say years to come, if I heard a siren in the middle of the night, I would be frightened. But, you know, then I grew up and I was never afraid ever again. Don't you wish we could say that? But it's not that way. I take you to when I'm 18 years old and I've gone through my first serious breakup with a girl. And there's something about a breakup that kind of just makes you scared. Will anyone love me again? Will I ever get over this? Will this feeling of pain and hurt ever go away? And this morning, I'm getting ready. I walk into my closet, and I just looked up in my closet for just a moment, and I saw something that brought me great fear 29 years ago this week. I have it right here. This is what I saw in my closet. And inside is an MRI of my brain. Yes, boys and girls, I have a brain. Maybe I shouldn't have diplomas on my wall, but just hang this up there, that I do indeed have a brain. But why did I have this MRI? It's because my doctor thought it was possible that I might have a brain tumor. This MRI was taken 3 days before Christmas. The results were given to me 2 days after Christmas. And I had fear, anxiety. You see, my brother had just a few months before me had an MRI, and it was determined that he had a brain tumor. So you put all this together, and there is anxiety, there is fear. And you know what? It's still with us, and a lot of us would like to have a security blanket to cover us through those times. What we're going to do today is see something that God gives his people to remind us we don't have to be afraid. Knowing that we can't just turn on and off our feelings of fear, what we need is an empowerment by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray that God will meet us exactly where we need to be met. Father, thank you that you are God who speaks to our fears. We pray, Lord, that the passage we look at today might become for us life, hope, trust. And that as we move forward in our day, in our week, into this new year, that we will find in you our peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have a Bible with you or a phone or something of that sort, if you turn to a very famous Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and we hear how the angels meet the shepherds. So let's come into the text, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we read this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So here's the key thing of this passage to get us involved. We read this, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. If you had an old King James, it would say, and they were sore afraid. They were scared to death. I mean, if you had an angelic being suddenly come before you, maybe you would be frightened too. It was a little scary. It was a little frightening. But now comes the cure for the fright. We read this, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord." It is that phrase that is going to carry us through and give us hope in the midst of our own fright, in the midst of our own fear. And so here's what we're going to discover. How do you deal with being afraid? It's to discover this, that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is our Messiah, and that Jesus is our Lord. So let's look at those three and see if we can break free from some of our fear today, because all of us have it. It's just a reality. So here's the first one. Jesus is our Savior. What does that mean? So if we look at the Hebrew Scriptures, that which the disciples read, that's which the shepherds would be familiar with, what do we find out about God being our Savior, Jesus being our Savior? Well, if we look to the book of Isaiah, we find out that the Lord is mighty to save. Now, what did that look like? Well, for the people in the book of Judges, it looked like somebody like Gideon or Samson, who would become the hero and champion and take the people through victory. It could be that when there were dark times or it seemed like there was a giant like Goliath, there would be God who would provide salvation for them. But as you look at the whole of Scripture, I think something that these shepherds may have been thinking of is a passage that shows up, for example, in Isaiah 43, where we read this. But now, this is what the Lord says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. That's a Savior. What does it mean that you and I have a Savior? So we are frightened, you're anxious, for whatever reason. Maybe sometimes we can't even put our finger on the reason that we're filled with anxiety or fear. But what does knowing that Jesus is your Savior mean to you? So let me take you back many, many years. I was 15 years old, and my parents had some place to go, and they wanted to drop me off at the church early for youth group. So, okay, we go to youth group. I went to a church in Syosset on Jackson Avenue. It's a four-lane road. And I'm there probably 30 minutes early. Nobody's at the church. It's a Sunday evening. And it's cold out. It's a night like this. But I'm a thoughtful 15-year-old. And I've been to this church a long time. And I know ways to get into this church. And I knew that the window on the front of the church facing Jackson Avenue, that four-lane road, was unlocked. So I decided, I'm going to crawl in that window. I'm going to get warm, and I'll be fine until, you know, the youth director comes and we're ready for youth group. So I start climbing up the wall. I open the window. My butt is hanging out the window as I am going into the church. Now, what does this look like to people who are driving by? Well, apparently to the Nassau County cop, seeing the butt hanging out the window, this was not a good thing. And he dives into that window seconds after I was in that room. The next moment, I found myself up against the wall like this, being patted down by this police officer. Now, of course, the moment I said, "Police officer, this is my church. I was going to youth group." He, of course, said, "Oh, right, of course. How could I be so faultless to not think that you're breaking into the youth group?" So there I am, praying to God my parents, you know, are not accessible by phone or anything else like this. And eventually, late, the youth director comes. And he tells the police officer, "This is Steve Tomlinson. He is the son of Frida and Homer Tomlinson. He attends this church, and yes, he is here for youth group. He's with me. He's with me." What did those shepherds think when they heard that Jesus will be our Savior? You know what I think? They probably thought he's going to come to kick some Roman butt. And we certainly do need a Savior from those Romans. But what they probably did not realize is that the Savior that Jesus was going to be was far greater. You see, the day is coming when I will stand before God Almighty, and I'll be very, very, very aware of my sin. But Jesus will come up alongside of me, put his arm around me, and say to our Father in heaven, "He's with me. I am his Savior." There's something about knowing that our eternal life is secure that helps us in our darkest moments. You see, when you are frightened, when you are afraid, even when I was a little boy fearing the end of the world because of a siren, I knew something that my parents told me. Because I had given my life to Jesus, no matter what this world throws at us, I'm saved. I have a Savior. And although it doesn't necessarily satisfy every anxiety and every fear you may have, it does give me a bedrock foundation. I remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples. It's recorded in John chapter 6. And people were stopping their following of Jesus. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave me also?" And it was Simon Peter who raised his hand, "Lord, where would we go? Only you have the words of eternal life." Jesus is our Savior. The next one is this: Jesus is our Messiah. Now, I love the way the New International Version translates this, because the older translations all say the Christ. Now, the Christ means Messiah, but in our culture and in our world, Christ is Jesus' last name, and we lose all the significance of that. But when the NIV says he will be our Messiah, to the shepherds, that meant everything. It means that Jesus is the fulfillment of that which has been promised to us time and time and time again. Let me just give you a few examples of promises of a Messiah. So, Genesis 49, Jacob is a very old man. Remember, it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And Jacob is getting close to death, and he has these 12 sons, and he wants to give each of them a blessing before he passes. By the way, I'm kind of introspective knowing that I'm passing the baton to Pastor Henry in just a week and a half, you know, that day is coming. But you know what? I thought, you know, I'm going to be like Jacob. And this past Monday, I had all the staff here live, and I wrote every staff member a blessing. I'm like, if Jacob can do it, so can I. So I gave every staff member a blessing for them just to say, you know, what I'm thinking from God for you. But let me go back to the story with Jacob. So he wants to give each of his 12 sons a blessing. And he reaches his son Judah, and he says this. This is Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter will not depart from Judah. Now, hold on. Who's a king here? Abraham wasn't a king. Isaac wasn't a king. Jacob is certainly no king. And yet there's a scepter? What's going on? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. Wow. What kind of prophecy is this? This little tribe in Palestine? Some ruler's going to come who's going to be the ruler of the whole world? Prophecy of Messiah. I take you to the book of Numbers. Now the people have left Egypt and now heading to the promised land. And there's a king who's really upset that these Israelites are coming before. So there's a prophet for hire. His name is Balaam. And he says, Balaam, I need you to prophesy against these Israelite people. Because they're coming over my territory. And Balaam, he's like, the money's good. Sure, I'll do it. But every time he goes to prophesy, blessings come out of his mouth. God always has him bless the people of Israel. One of those blessings is recorded in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. And everyone knew that star has royal connotations, prophecy of Messiah. Or take this one from Isaiah, where we read chapter 11, verse 1 to 10. But this is a highlight of it. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Who's Jesse? That's King David's dad. So a shoot will come up from Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit. In that day, the root of Jesse, somebody who precedes Jesse and somebody who emanates from Jesse, will stand as a banner for the people. Do you know that there are over 300 prophecies of Messiah, that Messiah will come? What does this mean for us in terms of our fear? The angel says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of glad tidings, which are for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. What's that mean to them? We have a God who fulfills his promises. 300 times God says, I'm sending a Messiah. I am sending an anointed one, because that's what the word Messiah means. I am sending a chosen individual to be the deliverer. And for you and I going through fear, going through anxiety, know this, God fulfills his promises. He is there for us when we need him. And I take you once again back to when I'm 18 years old. I'm a Christian kid who has had a woman break up with me, and I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of fear. You know what I decided to do to help me with this? Was to start memorizing promises of God. Things that I could quote in the middle of the night, because there's something about the middle of the night in which our fears come to life in their greatest way. And I memorized Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Lord, if I went to the far side of the ocean, you were there. If I make my home in the heavens, you were there. If I make my home in the depths, you were there. Oh Lord, you knit me together in my mother's womb. How precious are your thoughts of me. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And I just kept going over these words and have been encouraged and blessed. When you're afraid, remember, God fulfills his promises. Knowing he's Messiah confirms that. Some of you have been around Shelter Rock a long time, and you might remember a very memorable sermon that Pastor Jerry gave. I still remember where I was sitting when he gave it. Some of you were here that day. So he gets up, and this door opens, and out comes Pastor Jerry in handcuffs wearing orange. And he comes over here, and we had a real genuine Nassau County cop come and tell him, you have 30 minutes. And Jerry then gave us, word for word, the book of Philippians. Why the book of Philippians? Well, first of all, Paul wrote it when he was in prison. And so he's delivering this sermon, this recanting of the book of Philippians, and he goes through it, all memorized, all four chapters. Beautiful. What you did not know when you were watching that day, the reason why Pastor Jerry memorized the book of Philippians. Because it was in the winter months, and he would slip into a depressed state in the winter months. How do you face that? How do you deal with it? And he decided to memorize the book of Philippians, which tells him promises like this. Do not be anxious for anything, but in all things through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He just wanted himself to be saturated with the Word of God, and he eventually blessed us as a congregation giving it. But what you need to know when you're afraid is you have a God who keeps his promises. So my suggestion to you is put a few promises in your heart. Put these promises in your head so that when you feel those night terrors, you can hold on to something that lasts. Our promise-keeping God. Which brings me now to this last one. Do not be afraid. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Messiah. And Jesus is our Lord. Now, what does that mean? As scholars look at the New Testament and they observe the use of the word Lord, here's what we observe. Sometimes the word Lord means a term of respect or of authority. For example, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Why do you call me boss if you're not going to actually do anything I say? That's an example of the use of the word Lord for authority. But when scholars look at this declaration by the angels, you know what he hears them saying? That Jesus is Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty. In fact, for the Hebrews, they would never even say the word Yahweh out loud. They would call him Adonai as a word of respect, which means Lord. And so when we read in this passage that the Lord is going to be with us, you know what that means? As the Bible says prophetically through Isaiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, what is the significance of God being with us when you're afraid? Well, I could come up with all kinds of things. I think of God's power. I think of his might. I think of the fact that this Lord, who has this great power and this great might, has lived with us, and he knows what we go through. He knows our trials. He knows the things that cause us fear. But if I had to put my finger down on what it is exactly that I love about Jesus being our Lord, God with us, it actually reminds me of a story found in Scripture, in the book of Isaiah, actually. So I want to introduce you to somebody. Here's a picture of him. This is King Cyrus. Now, we bumped into King Cyrus during our Daniel series. So, King Cyrus comes to power in 539 BC. Very soon after he comes to power in Babylon, he is conquered. The Persians are now the power in the world. He gives this declaration. The Hebrew people, they can go home. They can go back to Jerusalem. They can rebuild their houses. They can rebuild their nation. This is a declaration that changed everything. The cylinder that it was written on, we actually still have. It was preserved, this actual declaration from 539 BC. Very cool. Very powerful prophecy. But let me tell you why this story is so relevant to me letting go of my fear. The year was 701 BC. It was 150 years before Cyrus would even come to power. 150 years. There has just been a great victory. Isaiah was with Hezekiah. The Assyrians, the greatest power on the world of that day, had come to destroy Jerusalem. 180,000 troops surrounded the city. Hezekiah did everything he could to try to talk the Assyrians for leaving. He paid them off. He scraped the gold off the temple doors. But nothing would take this king away from wanting to conquer Jerusalem. And eventually, Isaiah and Hezekiah have a prayer meeting. They say, God, you're kind of good at helping the weak against the strong. Will you help us now? And there's this phenomenal victory. Wow, amazing victory. God has won. His people are free. They look outside the walls of Jerusalem. There are 180,000 dead soldiers. And King Sennacherib, he goes scurrying back to Nineveh and gets killed there. Victory. But it is at that moment that Isaiah has another oracle. I like to call it God's love letter to the future. Because that, what story I told you, took place Isaiah 39. From chapter 40 on, Isaiah has these prophetic words for a generation that is not even born yet. And here's what he does. Look at this. This comes from Isaiah 44, verse 24. I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself, who says to the watery deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and will accomplish all that I please. Now get this. 150 years before Cyrus even comes to power, there is no Cyrus. He is not born. God predicts through the prophet Isaiah, I will tell you the name of the person who is going to deliver my people from captivity in Babylon, where they're not even captive yet. They're just coming off this big victory against the Assyrians. And then God gives this. And now, here's what I love about Isaiah. He uses this as a teaching point. He says, you guys that I'm talking to, who I'm preaching to, you will go into the forest and you will cut down a tree. With part of the tree, you turn it into lumber and cook your dinner over it. With the other part of the tree, you carve yourself a god and you bow down to it. What's wrong with this picture? And then he says this, how many of your gods made of wood, made of stone, made of silver, made of gold, can predict by name the king who is not even born yet, who will deliver the people? And this is the way he puts it as we move forward into the chapter, chapter 45. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Why I love this story associated with this simple phrase, a Savior will be born, who is the Messiah, the Lord, is this aspect of God. He's sovereign. He knows the beginning from the end. He knew the name of the king that was going to deliver the people well in advance because he's God. You know what that means for me when I'm afraid? I don't know if you ever had your head stuck in an MRI machine. You just hear this clicking sound. It's creepy. My brother's already diagnosed with a brain tumor. Is it my turn now? And I'm just hearing the rattle of this machine. But you know what I held on to? That I have a God who's already been to tomorrow. He already knows what's ahead. I exhale. Lord, I don't know what you have in store. I don't. But I do know that you're in charge. And I believe that you're good. And I'm going to trust in your goodness to carry me through that which I do not understand, and that which right now brings me fear. I have a Savior who saves me from that which is most devastating, my deserving of hell. My Savior puts his arm around me and says, he's with me. I have a Messiah, a God who fulfills his promises. So I'm going to hold on to those promises and saturate myself with them. And I have the Lord present with me, the Lord who knows the beginning from the end. So let me ask you a question for those of you who are into Peanuts and Charlie Brown. Did a lioness ever let go of his blanket? Was there ever a time he could let go of his security blanket? There was. Let's watch.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
What I love about what you just saw is that he dropped the blanket. But what did he do when it was all done? He picked it up again. That's us. Church is not the place where you are like permanently fixed and no more issues with sin, no more issues with fear. What church is about, it's a group of people who know where the hope resides. And we encourage each other on a daily basis to let go of our blankets and to come running to a Savior, a Messiah, our Lord. Because that is where our true release of fear resides. We will from time to time pick up our blankets. We will. But we know we have a great God who has given us the greatest gift of all. And we have reason not to be afraid. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this good news. Thank you for those moments that we, like Linus, can lay down our blanket and trust in you. Father, they may be few. Those times may be fleeting. But Father, we thank you that we have every reason to not to be afraid, because we have a Savior. We have a God who fulfills His promises and gives us a Messiah. And we have a sovereign Lord who knows the beginning from the end. And we can trust Him. Lord, thank you for this precious Christmas story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.